and I were, as we prayed about coming and talked about what should we bring, so you've got what we felt we should bring. And so this final talk of the day is something that I wrote for something I'm involved with called the Healing Prayer School, run by a lady named Lynn Button, who I know came here last autumn. She's an amazing woman of God. Yeah, and I'm her administrator as well, so, and she's part of our church staff team, so we get to learn a lot from her. But as part of her team, I wrote this talk called From Anxiety to Waiting Well. And as we were praying, I just felt this was the right thing to share this afternoon, because we all need to learn how to wait well, because God often keeps us waiting, as Paul's been saying. But I just want to begin by getting you thinking. When you go somewhere or you make a phone call or something happens and somebody says, you'll have to wait, what's your reaction? How well do you, what did you react with anger? Do you react with, that's fine? Do you react with a bit of sadness? You know, however, how do you react when you're told you'll have to wait? If I asked you to rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being, 10 being best and 1 worst, where would you score yourself on your ability to wait? Now, I know you'll probably be wanting context now, because being told you have to wait for the next train or a table at a restaurant is different from being told you have to wait for your test results from the doctor. And even if you have to wait for a train, your response to having to wait will depend on whether you're in a hurry for an important appointment, or you have some other pressing time commitment, or you're just out for a nice day. And your response when being told you have to wait in a restaurant will depend on how hungry you are. I get very hangry, so I do not like being told I have to wait in a restaurant. Or if you have small children with you, or others who find it difficult to manage themselves well in social contexts. And sometimes results from the doctor aren't for anything you're concerned about, so waiting for them isn't an issue. But sometimes results from the doctor carry huge implications for you and for your future. So in each of these situations, our response to being told we have to wait will vary. But the truth is, whatever the situation, however much is riding on what we're waiting for, we all need to grow in our ability to be able to wait well. Now, as I'm American, so I do say last and past and bath. Yeah. But I know as a culture, you British love to talk about how good you are at queuing. I hear this all the time. We're good at queuing. We love to queue. So you are very good at waiting in general. That everyday waiting that's part of life, at the bus stop, in the queue at the post office or the supermarket, for us waiting in the underground, and for us waiting on the M25, I'm sure you have your own motorway issues up here. In those situations, you know, we have to engage our waiting well, our patience, and I think as a culture, very good at that, mostly. And also, some of us by nature or by temperament are just more naturally patient than others. You see children, you can tell. Some are just, they're better at it than others. But we all have to be taught. We all have to learn how to wait. In other words, we have to learn how to be patient. Now, patience is the first thing in the list in 1 Corinthians 13 describing what love is like. It's the first thing listed. Love is patient. It even comes before kindness. Love is patient, love is kind. And patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And we know the fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. Patience is the first to be mentioned after love, joy, and peace. So the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience. So being able to wait with patience is part of God's nature in us. When we grow in our patience, we're growing in our Christ-likeness. But why is waiting so hard? Well, the most simple and obvious answer is human nature. It's hard because when we want something, we want it now. No one naturally enjoys the process of having to wait for what we want. Yes, we can logically understand it's necessary. We can endure it and even eventually learn to make the most of it. But most of us would never choose having to wait. And in our day and age, it's even harder for us to wait than previous generations because the pace of life, as you know, has got faster and faster with fewer things we really have to wait on. Now, when Paul and I met, I came to the UK to study for one term, and it was only 8 weeks. This was back in 1990, and we had a 2-year long-distance relationship, and we had to write letters. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but there was no email. We had to write letters, and so we would have to wait a week for the letters to cross the Atlantic, and we did have the phone. Now, when young people tell me, oh, I'm in a, you know, my boyfriend's over there, and I'm like, come on, don't complain to me. You've got FaceTime. You've got email. You don't talk to me about how hard a long-distance relationship is. But we did have the telephone, so we could talk on the telephone every week. But that's just an example. We have the electric kettle. We don't have to wait for the fire to boil the water. We have microwaves when we want to heat something up. We're just used to having things quickly. So when something doesn't happen as quickly as we'd like it to, we can end up assuming something's gone wrong. Or we give up and decide it's just never going to happen. But that may not necessarily be true. We just may need to be patient. But being patient can be really hard. And I think that's a good thing for doing these Lent practices, because they teach us how to wait and that waiting is worth it. Now, although it's true we're not as conditioned to having to wait as those in the past, having to be learn patience is not just a modern problem, because we see in the Bible God was always having to teach people the lesson of patience. God would often give a dream or a promise, but he took his time delivering on it. Just a few famous examples. Noah was told to build the ark. Noah faithfully did it, and he still, even after the ark was built, had to wait for the rain. Abraham and Sarah, given the promise of a baby, but they had to wait a long time, and they tried to help God out along the way, which didn't turn out so well. But he gave them a promise, but it took him a long time to deliver on it. Joseph, I know you've been studying here. Joseph had to wait in prison. He must have thought the dream he had as a young man was all wrong. He must have, in those days in prison, he must have thought, that's never going to happen. That I've got it wrong. The people of Israel had to wait in slavery for a deliverer for hundreds of years, and then wait 40 years in the wilderness, when in fact most of them died, and their children were the ones to inherit the promise and enter the promised land. That's because they got it wrong, but again, having to wait for the promise. David had to wait to become king, although he'd been anointed king years earlier when he was a shepherd. And I think David's a helpful one, because we see in the Psalms he had to repeatedly tell himself, wait patiently. And he told himself, wait expectantly. And the point is, it's good for us to be able to wait well. Whether it's simple impatience that's the issue for us, or if we're unable to wait well due to anxiety, there is a better, more life-giving way to wait. Now, as Paul was talking about anxiety earlier, it's important to note we can definitely be impatient when we're anxious. Anxiety is an uncomfortable feeling. So we want it over with. We don't want to have to wait. We don't have to keep feeling it. So that can make us impatient, but we'll talk about more of that. But also, we can be impatient because we just are born, a lot of us, with a sense of entitlement. Why should I have to wait? And that's a self-centered, immature attitude that we all have a leaning towards, and we all need to learn to grow up and learn to wait our turn. That's what children are taught in nursery if they haven't yet learned it at home. We need to learn, I am not the center of the universe. It is not all about me. The fact is, we all have to share. We all have to take turns. And we all have to learn how to wait. It can be a painful, but it's a necessary lesson to learn. And some take to it better than others. Now, there's a well-known marshmallow experiment that was done in the 1970s. A lot of you all probably heard about it. It was an experiment done at Stanford, and they took preschool-aged children, put a marshmallow in front of them. I'm boiling it down right to the basics. But just to see if they could wait. So the experiment person would leave the room. They'd tell them, if you wait, you can have you can eat the marshmallow, but if you wait, you'll get two, something like that. So the scientists would leave, and then see, and then they'd watch the child to see, will the child wait? Will the child not wait? Can they wait, have delayed gratification or not? And those who could delay their gratification, who could wait, were found to have better success later on in life because they could wait. They could put off their immediate desires for a greater purpose, two marshmallows, basically. And a part of that study took into account how trustworthy the adult the children were waiting for was. If they knew the adult was actually going to come back, if they believed the adult would come back and would deliver on what he or she promised, they were more willing to wait. If they thought they couldn't trust the adult, they would help themselves. So that was interesting, an interesting experiment that's been redone, and there's things about socioeconomical factors. But the point is, there is something about being able to delay gratification that helps us in life. So there's impatience, learning to be patient. Impatience needs maturing to grow into that patient, the fruit of the spirit, when we have to wait. But there is also the real anxiety that can be a constant companion in our waiting. And that is not God's best for us. Now, as you are, I am personally waiting on a number of things. I'm waiting for a situation to change. I'm waiting for an answer about another situation. I'm waiting for God to deliver on some things I believe he said will happen. And I often think I would really be good at waiting patiently if I was just sure what I was waiting for was definitely going to happen just as I wanted to. If I knew it was going to happen as I wanted it to, I could, you know, I'd think, oh, I'd be great at waiting. But it's the anxiety, it's the worry, it's the fear that it won't actually happen that makes the waiting hard and often painful. And when I think about that marshmallow experiment and how the ability of the children to wait was connected to how trustworthy they thought the adult was, I can't help but make the comparison between them and myself as a child of God. Because as a follower of Jesus, I'm signed up to the idea that God is in control of my life and my timings. If I'm struggling with waiting, if I would just want to take what's in front of me, if I'm feeling anxious or worried, maybe what I'm really struggling with is the question of whether I can trust God to come through for me or not. Does he really work all things out together for my good? That could be what I'm struggling with when I can't wait well. And when I think about that, I realize I have a choice in how I wait. I can choose to allow anxiety and worry to rise up and take control, or I can make a choice not to worry. And at first, that feels so unnatural, because I've just tried doing this the last few years, just saying, no, I'm choosing not to worry. I want to worry, because it feels really natural. And life has taught me people around me are all worried, and worry and fear are so contagious, but I'm going to choose not to worry. And then I feel I'm choosing not to worry about whatever it is. I'm choosing to trust God is in control. And this requires me to actively engage my faith, choosing to believe and trust that God is actively working in my situation and in response to my prayer, and that he will bring about what is best for me and for whatever situation I'm waiting on and praying about. Even if I don't see it in the short term, it will be true in the long term. Now, some days that's easy. Other days it requires serious effort and determination. And I think I could switch off and be passive in my waiting. And it's kind of like, you know, again, Prime, Amazon. I mean, the other day I ordered something because our bath waste thing, the plumber, the guy told me was broken. And so you need to order this. I ordered it at like 8:30 in the morning. It was at my house by 5. I was like, I mean, I did not have to wait long at all. So that was amazing. So it could be like I've just placed my order and I'm just waiting for the doorbell to ring and for my delivery to come. Or I can do my best to stay expectant and stay engaged, spending time in God's word and prayer when I'm waiting for him to deliver on something. And that, of course, involves both speaking and listening. I talk to him. I talk to him out loud. I talk to him often in my head. He's God. He lives in me by his spirit, so he hears it all, however I express it. But I also need to pay attention and listen, because God may well be speaking back to me. And there are some things about this process, again, I enjoy and find come easily, but others are really a challenge, and I have to use all my self-discipline and my self-control to keep myself in a place of faith and expectancy, choosing to say no to anxiety and yes to the peace that passes understanding. I like to think of it as the peace that makes no sense. And we need to remember that over and over in the Bible, we're told not to worry, to be anxious for nothing, don't fret, etc., as well as being told to give thanks in all circumstances, rejoice always, be grateful. And we need to be told over and over again because we're not very good at it. But we can work on it and we can get better. Our minds and as a result, our emotions can be transformed. And waiting is a great opportunity to practice it. And through working on improving in this, we draw closer to God. In the same way that regular exercise gradually makes you fitter, or by practicing an instrument or some other new skill means you improve bit by bit, when we wait on God in this way, our ability to trust grows. And as we see the things we're waiting for coming, like when you're at the bus stop or the train station and you've been waiting in the rain and finally you see the bus with your number on it or the train coming and you know now, oh, finally, my wait's over. It's like that when we're waiting with God. Then we know our confidence in God was not in vain. And we build up a track record with God over time where we can then point to his past faithfulness. We remember, oh, this feels really uncomfortable. Oh, but I remember when that felt really uncomfortable. And God came through, and he's going to come through again. And it makes it easier to wait the next time. Paul was telling in the last session about our son Joshua. Now, again, he made it sound kind of easy. We just did it. It just happened. Sorry. Because I do tell him when he goes and speaks about our building project, and he just goes, yeah, we did this, and then we did that, and then we put this out, and we did that. I said, you didn't tell him that the council turned us down. And, you know, all these things, you've sort of forgotten about that. So with Joshua, he's right. Because people were always telling us, you're going to have to fight. Be prepared to fight. You're not going to get provision. It's going to be a struggle. And we saw other families struggling. And so, oh no, what's going to happen? Am I going to have to be a carer all my life, locked in the house? And so I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity to practice what we preach. And so I'm just going to trust you, God. So I would declare, I am choosing not to worry about Joshua and his future. I'm choosing to trust you, God. This feels really unnatural. I feel as a mother, I should worry. I feel I should be actively worrying. Otherwise, I don't care. But no, that's not true. I mean, we care. So I'd say, no, I'm choosing to trust you. I'm choosing to believe you're our provider, not Redbridge, which is our local council. So I'd have to say, Redbridge, I would declare, Redbridge is not our provider, you are. You are our provider. And you can make things happen that seem impossible. So I'm choosing not to worry. Now, this was not always easy. Some days it was a real battle, but I'm choosing to trust and I'm choosing to believe you're going to show me when to push the door and when to stay silent. And then you just have to learn to go with your God-given intuition, instincts. This is the time to email the social worker, I felt. This is the time to ask. This is the time to push that. This is the time to just wait. Wait for somebody to get back in touch with you. And then it was amazing. God was very faithful, as Paul said. And the way it came full circle to the house that I first thought was a great place for him, then was taken off, you know, then we're not using that house anymore. There's a problem with it. I really thought God said that was the house. And then it was taken away. Okay, but I'm still trusting. And then went for something else. Never worked out. Waited months for this other place. In the meantime, the first place was reinstated. Had someone move out at exactly the right time. And then Joshua moved in. So it was just, it was a miracle. I feel a house of miracles for us. But it was a really learning time for me. I am choosing not to worry. It feels so unnatural at first for me. I'm choosing not to worry. I'm choosing to trust. And so we have to do this with lots of situations. That's just one example. Our daughter now is struggling. She was meant to do an MA starting in September. She had an issue with her ADHD medication. And so she's had to be home for the year. She's been very up and down, very up and down. But again, I'm like, I don't know. She's planning to go back in September, back to Warwick, to do her MA. And I'm trusting that's going to happen. And what will happen for her after, I have no idea. But I'm like, okay, I'm not going to worry though. I'm not going to worry because I trust you've got this, God. You love her more than I do. And you love us. And you've got a way and you've got a plan. We'll just trust you and follow you. But it does require us to engage our faith and engage our trust and to say we trust you. To step out when we feel God's saying, but also to hold back when we feel he's saying. So it's learning to wait and in the rhythms with him. Now, you will have your own situations. Many people I know dealing with the NHS and waiting for the letters, waiting for the appointments. So I hear Lynn, again, do this a lot when she's praying for people. The NHS does not make the decisions. God, you do. You are above it. And you can do all things. So we're trusting you to bring the letter to the right place or all of that. It could be your work, your family, whatever it is. If you aren't already, begin to declare the truth about God and choose to say no to the fear, to the anxiety that wants to rise up. It can feel like hard work because we're so well trained by life and by the enemy to worry. But we can be retrained. We can learn to recognize the enemy's lies and defeat them and do it God's way. And as Paul said, there's that great verse in Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. It's through faith and patience. And I think of that is by believing and trusting. That's our faith. And then being able to wait. That's our patience. And those are the vital ingredients in waiting well and receiving what God has for you. And all of this, of course, it goes without saying, but we need to say it anyway because we need to stay connected to God. That is the key. As we stay close to him, we grow in him, and ideally we mature in our relationship with him. The fact is, as much as we don't like it, we grow in the waiting. Like someone who's going to give birth. The waiting, the baby's growing, and we grow. When we wait well, we're growing in our waiting. And of course, any ongoing connection with God requires communication, so we need to be praying, as I said, and that's speaking and listening, and sometimes just resting in his presence, just soaking in his presence. And for me, this means I regularly try to set time aside to read my Bible and to pray, but also checking in throughout my day, talking to God, often asking for help, but also thanking him for things and doing my best to listen to where he might be pointing and what he might be saying. Now, when I listen, sometimes I don't hear anything. I'm not aware of anything. But other times he might speak through a dream, a Bible verse, a word, through a picture, through someone else. Sometimes there's just a sense of joy and peace when I wait on the Lord. Sometimes as I'm waiting, an idea comes to me. Sometimes I even hear him speak and give direction. But what happens most, I mean, it can be quite specific when the Lord gives a word, like Paul waking up knowing he would be the next vicar. Sometimes it can be really specific like that. But what I think he most often says to all of us is, trust me. That's what he's saying most of the time. Trust me. But as I wait, even if I don't hear or sense something from him immediately, when I'm asking, I've learned that it will come. He will speak to me in one way or another. Now, just looking quickly at what we can learn from Jesus. In Mark 1, we have a little snippet where it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, this is Jesus and the disciples, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else. To the nearby villages, so I can preach there too. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Now, Jesus was busy and Jesus was in demand. Just before these verses, he was teaching in the local synagogue, and the people were amazed with the authority he carried when he spoke and when he drove out the demon. Then, as we read, he demonstrated the power of God's kingdom through the healing and deliverance of everyone who was brought to him. But then we see after that in verse 35 that Jesus got up early while it was still dark and went off on his own to pray. He didn't tell anyone what he was doing or where he was going. He just did it because it was a priority for him. He wanted and needed to stay in that close contact with his Father, to wait on his Father for what to do and how to do it. And we might think, what was Jesus waiting for? What could he need? Well, I think he wanted the kingdom of God to be revealed on earth. That's what he came for. That's what he wanted. And even Jesus needed to take time to be with and to actively and expectantly wait on his heavenly Father for that to happen and to know how to do it. And it was after this time of prayer, Jesus knew he had to move on. If Jesus needed to spend time waiting on God in this way for guidance and direction, how much more do we? Only speculation, but maybe if Jesus hadn't gone out early to pray on his own, because things were going so well in the town, he could have been tempted to stay, doing the same things without moving on like he was meant to. Now, whether that would have happened with Jesus or not, it can certainly happen with us. While we're waiting, we need to stay open and expectant of God, pointing us in a new direction, giving us insight as to what to do, as well as him telling us again to be still and wait. The important thing is to be open and wait on God for how to be and what to do. Now, just also to finish, just thinking about David. Now, he was human like us, and we have many examples in the Psalms of his prayers. In Psalm 5, he begins with, "Listen to my words, Lord, consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King, my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly." David comes to God confidently, knowing they are in relationship, but also knowing God's the one who's in control, not him. He understands it's he who asks and God who answers. Then he goes on to remember what God is like. "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong and destroy those who tell lies." Now, in these verses, David remembers that God is holy. And to be honest, he can be quite harsh on his enemies. Somewhere he talks about breaking their teeth, I think. But remember, this is before Jesus came and said, "Love your enemies." But the point is, David was real. He was real about what he was going through. He was honest about how he felt, while at the same time recalling who God is and God's character. And he does this by declaring what God doesn't approve here. In other Psalms, he does it by reminding himself of the wonders God has done, the kind of character he does approve. And then he says, "But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple." And then he says, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies, make your way straight before me." Now, this last bit isn't so much a specific request, like I need this by this time, but instead it's a general desire for God to be in control and to make a way before him. And it reminds me of Psalm 27, where David says, "Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." And that psalm he finishes with, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And then he says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Just two examples, but all through the Psalms, there are some consistent things David does that we should also do as we learn to wait well. He's confident and secure in his relationship with God, which we can be when we love and we know when we follow Jesus. David remembers what God is like, his character. He remembers what he's done in his own life as well as throughout history. And David's real about what he's going through and how he feels. And David asks, expecting to be heard and to answer, even when he has to wait. Now, just to finish, there are some things that I remember when I'm finding it a struggle to wait. And we'll just finish with this and pray. When I'm struggling and I'm not trusting and I'm feeling things aren't going to work out or I don't see the way forward, I then call to mind these five C's about God, which I got from a lady named Beverly Shepherd. I remember God's character. He is good. I remember God's competence. Nothing's impossible for him. I remember his communication. He speaks to me. I am one of his sheep. I know his voice. I remember his commitment. He is committed to me. And I remember, this is a bit dodgy, his clock, his timing, because we can trust his timing. There's five C's about Jesus. When I'm struggling, I remember, God, you are good. Nothing's impossible for you. You communicate with me. You're committed to me. And I know I can trust your timing. Thank you. That's who you are. And I am trusting you with. And then I lay it before him and choose to leave it there. So as we're out of time, I just want to finish with that thought. And we'll just pray about waiting, however good we are at it, there's more we can learn. And we'll just spend a moment, and maybe if for you this is really a struggle or you related to something and you'd like someone to pray with you, then we are here to do that. Also, if you struggle with one of those C's because you just don't trust always in God's timing or his competence or his character, that's been a struggle for you as it was for me in the past, then we'd love to pray for you as well. I just want to say, because of the things that happened in my past and mistakes I've made, as I told you before, I live with a lot of guilt and shame, and that distorted my view of God. At times, as I said, I thought he was more of a harsh taskmaster, like a teacher, a stern teacher I had to work hard to keep happy, than a loving father who wanted to set me free and to heal me. But the truth is, he's never wanting me to perform and earn his approval, same for you, but to recognize lies of the enemy, as we talked about. And he wants, the enemy wanted me to keep me stuck, believing that God wasn't good, but he was always trying to bring his goodness to me. And that's just to also to finish with the final point. There's also another way to wait well, which is what Simon's mother-in-law did. She came, and when she was healed, she waited on Jesus in the way of serving him. So it's a great picture of what we should be like. Once Jesus enters our life and brings his healing, especially to our wounded and broken places, it's only right that we give back to him out of what he's done for us. And that can be through worship, through expressing our praise and gratitude, but it will also mean serving him, which will often mean serving people in his name, whatever that looks like for us. And there are as many ways to serve people in his name as there are people. And as we're giving of ourselves in this way while we wait on God, we're using our time well. So I just want to finish with this quote from Dallas Willard, who was a very wise and godly man. And he's well known for saying, eliminate all hurry from your life. And he said that in the context of this sentence. In order for us to live the life of love, joy, and peace that Jesus desires so deeply for us to experience, we must eliminate hurry from our lives. Now, that's because hurry, rushing, always feeling a step behind, well, it can give us an adrenaline rush. And some people like that. But we're not meant to live that way in that place because it damages our bodies and leads to a burnout in our brains. And it's damaging to our spirits as we're in too much of a rush to stop and receive the peace and presence of the Lord and all that means. Now, of course, there will be times when we're short on time and we're running behind. And sometimes we do have to hurry, but we can choose to stay calm in the hurry and not let anxiety rise up. So there will be times where we need to hurry, but we don't need to be anxious. Let that fretting rise up in our hurry. And then Dallas Willard says this in his famous book, Renovations of the Heart. We simply have to rest in Jesus' life as he gives it to us. Knowledge from Christ that he is good and great enables us to cast outcomes on him. We find this knowledge in the yoke of Christ. Resting in God, we can be free from all anxiety, which means deep soul rest. Whatever our circumstances, taught by Christ, we are enabled to rest, as Psalm 37:7 says, to rest, be still in the Lord, and to wait patiently. Now we'll pray. Okay, so something we're all waiting for is Jesus to return, right? We're all waiting for that. Some of us are waiting with eager expectation, some maybe with dread, some maybe just don't think about it. But we as his people know he will come back. And in this time, how do we wait for that? That's something we're all waiting for. And we want to wait well, like the wise virgins who had the oil when he came. So that's something we're all waiting for. But you will all have different things you're waiting for. And sometimes I feel, you know, God showed me a picture once of some people need their fuse lengthened. And this is, I think, is more about impatience and temper. They need to have a longer fuse because they're not good at waiting. And so sometimes God wants to come and lengthen our fuse so that it takes longer for us to explode before we, once our fuse is lit. And as we're healed and his patience comes and it makes more space for him, as we come and let him work in us, there's more space for him and for his roots to go down and fruit to grow. And also someone shared a word with me earlier during the first session they had that someone was thinking God's saying, well, I told you once, I'm not telling you again. You've got to do it now yourself. But wanted to say that God isn't like that. Actually, he wants to train us. He wants to coach us. He doesn't give up on us when we get it wrong. Paul often uses the example of when a child learns to walk, they don't take a few steps and fall down and you go, oh, that's it. You're never going to walk. Mine doesn't walk. No, you keep training, you keep coaching, you keep helping because you care and you want them to grow and mature. And that's how God is with us. He wants us to grow and mature. And when we fall down, that's not the end. He's like, come on, get back up. Let's try again. Because as you do it, you get more experience, you get better at it, and then you show others how to do it. So that's how he is with us. So now we will stand and pray. So sorry if I can ask you to stand now, if that's comfortable for you because you've been sitting. And we'll just ask the Spirit to come and then ask those to come up who would like to be prayed for particularly and anything else. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us, each of us in our different ways, our different circumstances. You know each one. You know each circumstance. You know the things we're waiting for. You know the things that are on our minds and hearts that we want, where we want to see breakthrough. We want to see healing. We want to see restoration. We want things fixed. We want to see peace in your world. We want to see salvation come. So many things, Lord, we're waiting for. But we thank you that in our waiting, you are faithful, and we can trust and stand on your word that you are working all things together for the good of those who know you and love you and are called according to your purposes. And we thank you for the examples we have in Scripture of Joseph and all he went through and the training that you did in his life through all those difficulties. For Abraham and Sarah, for Noah, for David, and for so many others, for the Apostle Paul, as we were thinking about, and all you taught him. So we ask now that you would just reveal more of who you are to us and the places we're waiting and it's painful and we can't see the way forward. Lord, if there's something you want to reveal, some strategy, some outcome, something, then we want to receive that. But Lord, also, if it's just a trust me word, that's just as powerful. And help us to see anywhere where we let worry in so natural, but Lord, not your best for us. When it comes in and takes over and dominates our thinking and affects our bodies. And then our minds become like a whirlwind and we can't see or hear things straight. And we pray for your peace to come and settle.
I just felt God say that he wants us to be patient with him. He is patient with us. You know, we read in the Bible that God is patient and doesn't want anybody to perish. He waits. You know, often we're unrepentant and he's still patient with us. And he waits and in his kindness leads us to that point. Doesn't cast us off because we're not moving fast enough. And Becky's talked a lot about patiently waiting for something. But I felt God say, actually, some of us, we need to repent of being impatient with God. And it's almost like you haven't done it fast enough, God. And in our kind of fit of pique, we've distanced ourselves from God. and that the Lord was wanting us to really, as part of our trust in him, just say again, Lord, I trust you. However long it takes, you will come through for me. Maybe not how I expect, but you will not let me down. You will fulfill all your promises. You will meet all my needs, maybe not all my desires, but you will meet all of my needs and you'll show your goodness. And I felt it would be really good for those of us that we know in our hearts that we are waiting on something, just to specifically say that to God again. So perhaps take a moment and think about what it is. You know, maybe a word that God's spoken over you, or a deep desire that you believe he's placed within you, or a situation you've been praying about for a long time. And we just offer it up before him again. And we say, God, I want to trust you with this. Patiently wait upon you. And I believe that if it is something that he's placed in our lives, that's a good thing for us to be waiting for, that he will give us the grace to wait with patient faith. And if it's something that we're chasing after that we don't have a grace for, he'll show us and steer us to the better thing. So Lord, as we offer you these things, we pray for the grace of patience, patient hope. Even as the Bible in places calls it long suffering, but grace to stay in that place that's uncomfortable. What we need, Lord, to inherit what was promised. Let's pray now that it'll just begin to fall upon us in minds and hearts, to be saturated again with a fresh trust in God, a fresh confidence in his goodness, his power. All those C's that Becky mentioned. Just meet you in that longing.
As we're waiting, I just have this picture of, it's really simple, but I can see it's like paint, it's thicker than that, but it's the Lord is stirring something. And it looks like liquid gold, really. It's beautiful, sparkly and thick. And I just feel the Lord saying it's not ready yet. I'm still stirring it. I'm still working on it. And sometimes we're impatient and we want the end result, but the Lord's saying, I'm still working on it. Trust me, because I know what I'm doing.
I just felt there's an old hymn that says, God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. And just trust those of us that have been walking with the Lord for many decades, that he is working his purpose out. That's perhaps a word for some of us that have been walking with the Lord for longer. He hasn't given up on us yet. You know, he's still working things out in our lives. Now, we know this morning that when we prayed, there's been a great sense of people really being vulnerable and engaging with God today, but we know that probably there are some people would have liked more prayer, or for whatever reason, perhaps if we're in the middle of a block, somebody didn't get to you. So we'd like to make sure that there's an opportunity really for anybody that wants to receive prayer. And so it could be that you want prayer for some of the things that we've touched on in this session, just for patient faith, for hope. You know, it says in the Proverbs, doesn't it? It's a verse that we go to often. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. You know, it's just such a... When you're waiting for something, it's not easy, and it can easily make your heart sick. But when God comes through for you, there's life that flows from that. So it might be that you're wanting just somebody would pray with you as you go through that God, you'd know God's with you, he'd keep stirring up faith and hope in you. Or it just might be that you're just needing to ask for more of God in your life, for that feeling of peace and love that we prayed for this morning. I love this church. It's absolutely fantastic. It has spots identifying where you stand for ministry at the front. They were here 2 years ago. They're still here. So if you'd like prayer, be great. I wonder whether Sam could come and just lead a bit of worship as we do that. We've got 15 minutes before the end of the day. Really want to commend you for the way that you've just waited on God in these sessions. And I think it's been really sweet. But if you'd like prayer, why don't you come to the front and Becky and I and maybe some others can pray with you that God would complete whatever he stirred up and started in you today.